25. I hope you can say with me, I'm so glad I'm saved. It is well with my soul that the Lord Jesus Christ died to pay for my sins. Seems like so many people in the world have the misconception that they can be good enough or they can do good things that would pay for their sins somehow. But the only acceptable, the only sufficient and satisfactory payment for sins is the blood of Christ. And if he had not shed his blood on the cross, you and I would have had no hope of salvation. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And if Christ's blood cleansed you from your sins, then your works did not. You cannot be saved by good works. The Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith, and that of your, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we know we're not saved by works. Amen?
Amen.
And we know that once the Lord saved us, he saved us for all eternity.
Praise Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
He gave us eternal life. If we could lose that, it wasn't very eternal, was it? So we're saved by faith in Christ. We are saved for all eternity. Do not misunderstand me. There is an absolute necessity to deal with sin. You must accept the fact that you are a sinner, that sin is an offense, an affront to God, and that God punishes sin. But when Christ saved you, he saved you by taking your punishment upon himself. You got to know those things. You got to know your Bible before you read a chapter like this one, because if you didn't, you might get confused, because there is a verse in Matthew chapter 25. It is the very last verse. No, it's not. It's the 30th verse in that chapter. Don't want to get ahead of myself here. It's the 30th verse in that chapter. And in this parable, if you didn't understand what was going on, if you didn't understand your Bible, that verse might get you confused. I want to look at that verse with you real quick. In Matthew 25, the verse 30 says, "Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now, I won't take time to do it right now, but if you study that phrase, outer darkness, we're talking about hell. I want you to know something. The Lord Jesus Christ taught that hell was real, and that people that were cast into hell would be there for all eternity. Just as long as you and I will be saved, a lost person will be lost. And this outer darkness that he speaks of here is the judgment given to a person in this parable who is called a servant. Now, if you're not careful, you might assume that this was a man that was saved and lost his salvation, but we can't lose our salvation. You might assume that this was a man that didn't work enough to save himself, but we're not saved by works. If you're here today and you do not know for sure that you are saved, at the end of the service, I'll tell you exactly what you need to do. And there's no reason anybody should walk out of this room at the end of the day not knowing Christ as their Savior. Amen. No reason whatsoever. So here we have this parable. I'm going to read it for you. I'll ask you to stand with me while I do. And we're going to read Matthew chapter 25, the parable of the kingdom, one of the very last parables of the kingdom. There's one more after this, but we're going to read Matthew 25. I'm going to read verses 14 through 30 and have a word of prayer. The Lord Jesus Christ is teaching. This is just before his crucifixion, just a couple of days. And he says in verse 14 in Matthew 25, "The kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway he took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you this morning as we meet here. It seems that we can read this parable and we can see a lot of things that are very clear. Lord, help us to understand what you want us to know, the encouragement that we see here, and also the warning that we see here. And I pray that you'd help us to use this time to glorify you and to learn more about you. And Lord, help us to be accurate. But most of all, I pray the Holy Spirit could speak through the Word of God today and teach us what it is you have for us to know. And I pray for folks that are not with us today, especially those who are out sick, suffering, God, I pray you'd care for them, cure them, heal them, raise them back up, and bring them back to us safely. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So many things in this parable that we see that they're just very practical. They're things that we know. If you know your Bible very well, you know, for example, that one day we're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and give an account of our lives. And you know, in our church we have some older folks, and I consider myself amongst them. And for some of us that have been serving the Lord for 20, 30, 40 years, perhaps maybe even longer, there's a certain amount of confidence, a comfort, I guess I could use that word, from this parable, because it won't be too long before we get to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and present to him the things we have done for him in this life. That's encouraging. I wouldn't want to have to live my life twice, unless I could take the knowledge with me and go back until I was about, 10 years old? But you don't get to do that, do you? Now, God did not give us knowledge in that sense. He gave us a Bible to live our lives by. And by the way, the Bible's better than any knowledge you could come up with. And so I don't have to go back and redo my 40s or my 50s or those periods of time in my life. Those periods have already been invested, either invested for God or invested for something that doesn't have any value. Now, some of us here are younger, and we have some young people here today, and they've got their whole life ahead of them. This parable certainly would speak to them, because folks, if you're younger, that means you've got some life left to give to God. You have some time to invest for Him. And don't misunderstand me. This is not for salvation. It is because of salvation. Because, you see, the Bible says we're saved unto good works. So the two of these three men, these servants and that are in this parable, two of them get to hear the words that we long to hear. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Can you just for a moment put yourself in that place to where the Lord Jesus Christ will say those words to you? Wow. And to think that we could please Him in any way is a tremendous blessing. We love Him and we want to please Him. And after all He's done for us, to hear Him say, good and faithful servant, well done. And folks, you can hear those words. Now, this is the twist that gets us in trouble. The third man is called a servant, but he didn't hear those words. And it may trouble you a little bit. We probably misapply this parable sometimes, and we talk about folks and say that they're not going to hear those words. And in this case, the contrast, the opposite, the alternative to hearing, well done, thou good and faithful servant, was to hear wicked and slothful servant and to be cast into hell. If you are genuinely saved, that's not going to happen to you. Praise the Lord. But what about that fellow? This parable's in the Bible for a reason. And God wants us to understand something. And it may be just as simple as what I'm about to explain to you. And it goes something like this. You come across people from time to time, especially if you go door to door. If you go door to door, you knock on doors. You come across people from time to time, and they don't go to church. And they haven't been going to church for ages, if ever. They don't serve God. They're living their life for themselves. There's no visible evidence, no fruit, no in nothing to lead you to believe that they're saved. And then they will say to you, oh yeah, I accepted Christ. Or, oh, you know, I'm not sure I hear the word saved an awful lot, but they'll say, oh yeah, I know that when you tell them the gospel. Oh yeah, I know that. Folks, the Bible teaches us something. When the Holy Spirit comes into you, He's going to change you. And I won't tell you the stories I've told you before, but we told you story after story of people being talked to at the door, and they're living in some wicked sin, and they don't have anything in their life that honors God that we can see. And then they say, oh yeah, I'm saved. I want you to know something. If Christ saved you, the Bible says if you are saved, the Holy Spirit lives in you. And if the Holy Spirit lives in you, you're going to be different. Amen? There are some interesting things happening in this parable, and I'll just show you a couple of them. We haven't got time to look at them all, but let's just begin back up at the beginning in verse 14. It says, the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his servants and delivered unto them his goods. And then it says in verse 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh. I got to tell you something. I don't like that phrase, long time. I'd sure like for it to be a short time. Amen? I don't know if you've had the opportunity or the, I don't know if you can even call it that, of considering the fact that you could die. Folks, we're all going to die unless Christ returns. And I was laying in the hospital bed, and the doctor came in, and doctors are so funny. He says to me, he says, you know, this is a very serious condition you have. And I was telling Mark Hall, that's a doctor's polite way of saying this could kill you. And I wasn't expecting to die, but you think about that every now and then. What would happen if you died today? There are people that have died this year that didn't expect to die. I think of people that we loved and that we knew well. I'm thinking of Brian Sharp's wife, Bonita, whose parents, Doyle and Dixie Johnson, were faithful missionaries in Mexico for decades and decades and decades and saw God do a huge work. And Bonita was, of course, part of that when she was a young person. She went to Bible college, married Brian Sharp, served God her whole life. And then, what was it, last summer, she stepped into eternity in an instant, in an automobile accident, and absent from the body, present with the Lord. And we grieve for her family, but I think she's going to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Amen. Think of someone like Al Price's wife, who passed away just a couple of days before Thanksgiving. Same situation, sitting in the car, driving down the road, talking to her husband one instant, and the next instant she's in eternity. Serve God with her life. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Are you going to hear those words when you step into eternity? Amen?
Amen.
Now, this is where it gets tricky. There was a decision that each of these servants made as to what to do with what God had given them. And I want you to understand something. The Bible says that God gives every man a measure of faith. And the Bible also says this. Jesus promised. Jesus said, he said, "If I be lifted up," and he was talking about the cross, "I will draw all men unto me." God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, Peter said. Folks, somehow, and Romans chapter 1 explains this better than I can in the time I have available, but somehow God reaches out to every man, and every man makes a decision about what to do with that, whether to accept it or to reject it. I would not want to be a Calvinist having read these verses, because the Bible is pretty clear that this man who was cast into hell says in verse 24, he says, "I knew thee." He knew about the Lord. He knew details about him, and he understood that he had made a decision as to what to do with what God gave him. If you're here today and you are saved, when God came to you and convicted you, and praise God, he does,
amen,
you receive Christ as your Savior. And the Holy Spirit came into your life and did a work you could not do, and he changed you. Now, different people, as we see in the parable, produce different things. Different people have different abilities. One had great ability and was given 5 talents. That word talent in the passage just talks about money, but it's the things God has given us. And that servant took those 5 and produced 5 more. The servant that had 2 produced 2 more. But the servant that only had 1, if you look at the passage here with me, the Bible says in verse 27 that the Lord said to him, he says, "Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury." The word exchangers there just has to do with bankers, but it's a parable, it's an illustration. And what he's saying is there were some things that God gave us, and we should have put them to good use.
Amen.
Now I want you to know, every one of us here today, if you're saved, God came and he convicted you, and the Holy Spirit came into your life, and the Holy Spirit will change you. This is not a warning to Christians to serve God. I think you ought to serve God. We saw that in Sunday school this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the foundation, and that we're all building on that foundation, either gold, silver, and precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. You and I are building something on the foundation God gave us. But when you received Christ, you took that conviction, I'll use that word for now, and you responded to it, and you placed your faith in Christ. And everybody's got their faith placed somewhere. You placed your faith in Christ, and he saved you from your sins. And he came into your heart, and he began to work in your life. How many of you have been in a situation to where you're talking to somebody, and you found out that they were lost, and you just, I don't know how to describe it, you couldn't help yourself. You had to witness to them. Anybody kind of agree with me on that situation? Amen? It happens, amen? You know, what does that? The Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And what's funny to me is, I'll be talking to somebody like that, and all these verses will be coming into my head. Verses I remembered, verses I memorized, verses I heard preached. And where's that coming from? The Holy Spirit, amen? Folks, that's part of the evidence of salvation, is when God uses you to testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we studied the Holy Spirit a while back, and we learned something. The Holy Spirit will always magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. So, while I can stand here and I can tell you, you should be using your life to serve God, what the parable teaches is, if you're saved, there will be fruit. Amen? You say, well, there's not much. That's not the point. One fella had two, and he produced two more. One fella had five, he produced five more. The quantity is not the issue. The issue is this. You took what God gave you, and the Holy Spirit in your life is going to do something with that. We talk about people being backslidden sometimes, and I went through a period of my life when I was backslidden. But even when I was backslidden, I got out of church for a while, and I got away from the Bible for a while, God still worked on me and worked on me and worked on me and brought me back. And if you had that kind of situation in your life, you know what I'm talking about. Aren't you glad God didn't ever forget about you? Aren't you glad God didn't give up on you? And some of the people that have done the greatest things for God maybe went through a period of time like that. But even when we step back from God, He still lives in us and He still works in our hearts. So what do you do with this parable? Just a couple of simple thoughts, and I'm going to be very brief. Three men, five talents, two talents, and one talent. Not a question of how much they produced, a question of whether or not they used what God gave them. And folks, when you step before the Lord Jesus Christ, you might say, well, you know, I never had a chance to be a pastor. I never had a chance to be a missionary and go all over the world preaching the gospel. Our evangelist that was here in November, I wonder how many folks he's seen saved. Wow, who knows? Thousands, I'm sure. None of us might be able to claim thousands of souls. If you can, praise the Lord. But whatever fruit you have produced, it's not a question of how much. It's a question of, did God use you to accomplish something? Amen?
Amen?
And that's what happened with these fellows. Different abilities, different results, but the very same commendation in each case of those first two. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'm going to make an assertion here. If the Lord Jesus Christ lives in your heart, if you have trusted Him as your Savior, what my Bible teaches me is there will be a day when God's going to commend to you for the work that He's done through you. Amen?
Amen?
Now, again, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, different people build different things. Don't get me wrong. We have responsibility. But if you've trusted Christ, say amen.
Amen.
Do you know what? Ephesians teaches us in chapter 2 that you, because you trusted Christ, you are an eternal source of glory to God. That for, if you want to count them as years, for millions of years from now, when you're walking down the streets of heaven, the angels and other people can look at you and look at me and they can say, there goes proof that God is good. They'll see Brother Mendez or me walking down the streets of heaven, and somebody will say, there goes proof that God is good, because those people didn't deserve eternity with God, but He saved them from their sins. And He gets the glory. Amen? And folks, whatever you do for God, at the end of the day, God gets the glory. But we are an eternal trophy, a proof of God's grace. And we're going to produce fruit if we have received the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that everyone is going to be a great soul winner, but I wish we were.
Amen.
That doesn't mean everyone is going to be a missionary or a pastor or an evangelist or whatever it might be. But folks, God's got something for you to do.
Amen.
And when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit came into your life, and He's going to do something with you. Now, you may hinder him and you may push back and you may make it harder for him to work with you, but you're going to be different. I continually get a thrill when I look up and I see these young people come into church. And I just think to myself, God did that. Amen? Why is Isaiah here today? On his birthday, by the way. Amen? Because God brought him to church. Amen? Why are any of us doing what we're doing? Because God's doing it through us, because we trusted Christ as our Savior. Now, I'm just almost done. Just a couple of thoughts. These people that say they know God and have no evidence of it, folks, just accept the fact they're lost. Because when you get saved, Christ is going to do something in your life. That's what the parable teaches. And we need to understand that perhaps they've deceived themselves, but they're lost. On Judgment Day, there are going to be those, and you read the passage earlier in Matthew, and they're going to say, Lord, Lord, we did this, we did that. And he says, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. But there'll be those that say, Lord, Lord, that have no evidence. Folks, when you get saved, there's going to be some evidence somewhere. Don't turn there, but if you think about James chapter 2, James chapter 2 is the passage that says, faith without works is dead. If you've seen a body laying deceased, I think of my father when he was on his funeral and he's laying there. And I look at that body, and there's no life in that body anymore. And praise God, my father was no longer in that body. He was with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. Amen. That body can't do anything. It's dead. It doesn't have strength. It doesn't have spirit. It doesn't have life. There's nothing it can do. When my father's spirit was in that body, he could walk and move and speak, and he could serve the Lord, and he did. He served the Lord for many, many years as a faithful church member. But when the spirit was gone, the body lay still. Folks, faith without works is dead. The Bible, he says in James, he says, you say you have faith. He says, but I'll show you my faith by my works. You believed that you were destined for hell because of your sins. You believed that Jesus Christ could save you from your sins. And when you did that, you called on him. Amen? That call is evidence of what you believed. I know people that think that you have to be baptized to be saved. If we believed that, and we don't, the Bible doesn't teach that, but if we believed that, we'd keep that baptistry full all the time. And we'd be baptizing you the minute we could, because that'd keep you out of hell. But that doesn't keep you out of hell. The blood of Christ keeps you out of hell. What you believe is going to affect what you do. And here's where it all winds up. You had enough faith to trust Christ as your Savior. Don't you think you ought to have enough faith to live your life for Him? Amen? Shouldn't you have enough faith that when you lay down on that sick bed and you think, I may never get up again, you could say, I sure am glad for the things I did for Christ. And then most of all, I sure am glad for what He's done for me. Doctors don't understand that part sometimes. I've told more than one doctor, I'm not afraid to die. They kind of look at you kind of funny. Folks, I'm not really going to die. I'm just going to change addresses. When Dan Ball stepped into eternity early this year, he didn't die. He just changed addresses.
Amen.
And when Bonita Sharp and when Patricia Price, when they stepped into eternity, they didn't really die. They just changed addresses. Do you have that confidence this morning? You see, any of us could die today. And some of us are going to die before too much longer. It's just a fact. Not really thinking of dying so much as, what's your new address going to be? Three people in this parable say, Pastor, what does this thing teach? Well, I know one thing. It teaches this. There are people that are going to hear the words, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. I can't wait. Amen? I'm going to miss you folks, but praise God, that's going to be good. And if you're saved, you'll join me there sometime. And I'm not planning on leaving anytime soon, by the way, but the Lord knows. But this other fellow, cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. What are you going to hear when you step into eternity? Enter into the joy of thy Lord, or cast him into outer darkness? Do you know what you're going to hear? Amen? Amen. I do. Amen? Amen. Say, Pastor, how can you know that? Because I believe God. And God said in his word, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made, not to some priest, but to God, unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. And I called. And I believed. And the Bible says God cannot lie. And now his spirit lives in me and bears witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God. Isn't that good?
Amen.
So somewhere along the way, I'm going to hear those words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Please be honest with yourself, be honest with the Bible, be honest with God and ask, do you expect to hear those words? Can you say as surely as I can, as surely as Brother Mendez can, that we're going to hear those words one day? Are you sure? If you're not, what a great day to get saved. Last Sunday of the year. Amen?
Amen.
Every day is a great day to get saved. Because you're still alive to get saved.
Amen.
But I wouldn't put it off. Something like 3,000 people a day, according to one statistic, are dying just because of one type of illness right now. That doesn't mention the people that die of heart disease and of cancer and other causes. Thousands of people a day. And one day that's going to be us, unless the Lord comes back between now and then. One day that's going to be us. One day somebody's going to call people and give them the news that you have stepped into eternity. There's going to be that phone call or that message or that policeman on the doorstep. So-and-so's not here anymore. They're gone. Where are you going to be when that happens? With the Lord? If you want to know for sure, in just a moment, I'll be down front. We'd like to show you. Amen?
Amen.
And if you know for sure, then I just want to encourage you one more time. Praise God that he works in us and produces fruit. But can I ask you, be a willing participant in that process. And give him something to work with. I do not know what's going to happen in 2021, but I sure do pray it's better than this last year has been. But you know what? God got us through this last year, didn't he? We're still here, most of us. And Lord willing, if he should tarry, I hope that you and I and others that got saved next year can join in this place on the last Sunday of 2021 and say, praise God, he got us through one more. But someday, the Lord's going to return. We just read about that. You may not be here when 2021 ends. If you're not, I hope you're with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope that hell is not in your future. If it is, please, today, let us show you how to find Christ as Savior. Let's all stand and pray.